Oh, it's Tuesday. It's My Car Guru. We are on the air, and it's a wet Tuesday, and we're trying to dry off the best we can here. Lenny Lawson is live and direct in studio.
Right. I had to use my umbrella to get into the studio.
That's how bad it was raining.
I normally eschew the umbrella.
Yeah.
And just go ahead and get a little damp. It doesn't bother me. I won't melt.
Not a big fan of having to use umbrellas.
What'd you think of my umbrella, though?
To be honest, I didn't pay a whole lot of attention
Wasn't
to it.
Wasn't it huge?
It was a big umbrella.
And bright?
Yeah.
It's very
was
colorful.
Was it green? Was it green?
You are somewhat observant, aren't
okay,
you?
Okay, I thought it might have been green.
Green and gray and white.
We're not going to get into that, what's hanging on the hall tree and what's on the front door and all that stuff.
Do you remember?
The memory stuff.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember.
You don't remember?
I remember there was hamburger on the hall tree, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, the memory systems. It's pretty bad when you forget the memory system.
Yeah, well, I haven't
forgotten. If you can't even remember the memory system, then it's about association. I mean, how do you rememorize? Have you ever heard of that word before?
Rememorize?
That's remember and memorize combined.
We should put that in Webster's.
Yeah.
That's a good word. How do you rememorize?
How do you memorize stuff? Repetition?
Yeah, I just have to look at it. Read it, whatever, look at it over and over again, pretty much. Your system was pretty good. Your system that you were talking about there, Jerry Lucas's system, is pretty good.
Yeah. Well, he had a photographic memory.
Yeah.
You know, that's a different kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was with my granddaughter at the at Davy Crockett birthplace, the state park down there.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a Pop and Ivy day. I went and picked her up at her little daycare And we rode out. I said, where do you want to go? She said, I want to go with Davy Crockett. So we went to Davy Crockett. But we were getting on this jungle gym-like thing, you know, one of these modern.
Mm-hmm.
They have all kinds of rock climbing stuff. And she looked up. And she just glanced back, and she said, there are 5 stairs. And I looked, and I had to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And I had to count them.
Mm-hmm.
But she just glanced at it and said, there are 5 stairs. You know, there are some people that are like that can see, whereas you can see maybe 4 or 5 or 6 things and know that that's 6. And there are some people that can see 15 or 100.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be, my dad worked in downtown Charleston, West Virginia, when we lived up there before he moved to Tennessee. And there was an autistic savant that was homeless and lived on one of the main streets there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a numbers whiz. And people knew that, and he had fun with it. And people would come by and ask him questions, and they would write down a bunch of numbers on a card and read him the numbers, and they would already have it told up, you know, on their index card or whatever. And he would do it in his head just like that and tell you, I mean, it could be any kind of a number. What a great skill.
That reminds me of Rain Man, the movie.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could spill a box of toothpicks like they did in Rain Man, and he would know how many toothpicks are in the box.
Very possible. That Dad said he knew how many bricks were in the side of a building. Of course, how do you know he's being honest with you?
Yeah.
And maybe he has taken the time to actually count them.
He may have known it. That's crazy, though, that people can do that. You know.
But so maybe my daughter, my granddaughter Ivy, has that skill. She can see in fives instead of ones.
I think there are people that can do that not necessarily are autistic. They just have that gift, maybe, that can do that.
Yep.
But autism that's one of the characteristics of some autistic people is they are able to figure things like that out very quickly.
The mind is a miraculous thing.
It is. More miraculous than any computer could ever be.
You know, speaking of West Virginia, when I was young, my grandparents, this is probably from 19, well, they moved to Nitro, West Virginia in 1939.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were there through World War II. It's where my mom grew up. You know, it's a little town outside of Charleston, if you know where Charleston is. Whenever you say Charleston around here, people don't think about West Virginia.
South Carolina.
That's right.
Yeah.
I always kid people when they say, yeah, where are you going on vacation? I'm going to Charleston. I said, really? West Virginia? And they said, no. Is there a Charleston, West Virginia?
I don't know many people that would go on vacation to Charleston, West Virginia.
You don't think so?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
But anyway... my grandparents lived in a little town in Nitro and moved there. And I remember, and I grew up, I guess probably from the time I was born in 1956 until we moved to Tennessee in 71, I was around my grandparents a lot. And I remember I used to play on the floor in their living room, and my grandfather had this big color TV and, you know, the old style remote control that would go ka-chunk, 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 mm-hmm. you know, as the mm-hmm. as the dial actually turned. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I just have this conscious memory of him listening to gospel music shows, Lawrence Welk and Billy Graham, mm-hmm. you know. And as I was driving up here, you know, on XM Radio, there's a Billy Graham channel. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're familiar with it. But I listened to it all the way up here. Mm-hmm. And there's just something about that man's voice that brings, just kind of makes all the anxiety and everything leave me. Mm-hmm. And something happened yesterday that really impacted me. And it's odd, and God works in this way, that Billy was talking about carrying a grudge, mm-hmm. you know, and having animosity towards somebody that maybe committed some type of a wrong against you at some time in your mm-hmm. past. Mm-hmm. And you still think about it. You know, it still bubbles to the surface. And you get this feeling in your gut, mm-hmm. you know, that you know, of anger, frustration. You've been wronged, you know.
That's why forgiveness is more for you than it is for the person that you're forgiving.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
And that's what he was talking about this morning.
Yeah.
You know, carrying a grudge is pretty heavy lifting.
Yes, it is.
You know, and it's much heavier lifting than granting forgiveness. Now, the act of asking for forgiveness or granting forgiveness to somebody, you know, you don't even have to do it to the person. You just have to forgive them in your heart, mm-hmm. in your mind. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, I'm at the dealership. I'm standing at the corner of the showroom, and the telephone operator comes over to me and said, "Lenny, there's a lady here that wants to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." And I walk over to her. She has a mask on. I have my mask on. She says, "Can I speak with you a minute?" And I said, "Well, sure." She said, "In private." I said, "Well, sure. Come on back here." So we sit down in one of the offices there. And she took her mask off. I invited her to take hers off. I took mine off. And she said, "In 1977, I had a Jeep. It was 1 year old. I financed the Jeep for 36 months. And my mom paid it off for me as a gift, except I had one payment left. And in my infinite wisdom as an 18-year-old, I decided to trade that car. And I decided to come to Lawson Chevrolet to trade it. Now, in 1977, I was a senior at University of Tennessee. I was not even present. Mm-hmm. But there was an employee there that she dealt with, and they traded vehicles. She traded it, her Jeep CJ5, for a 1977 brand-new Monte Carlo. She says that he said that she would be able to buy this Monte Carlo and just, instead of making the one more payment on her Jeep, mm-hmm. she could make one payment on the Monte Carlo and it would be hers. Okay?
Wow.
So that was basically an even trade.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way she understood it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way she's understood it for the last 43 years.
Wow.
So she said, "I just wanted to tell you what happened. I made the one payment and then I didn't make any more. And then the bank came and got the vehicle
mm-hmm.
because I didn't just owe one payment. Mm-hmm. I owed 35 more payments.
35 more, yeah.
Yeah. And I've never forgiven that person. And that person is, you know, still alive and kicking today and still in the car business. And I know him well.
Mm-hmm.
But she's 18 and she was immature and, you know, and now she's 60 plus.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I've never forgiven your dealership for that." She says, "I know that neither you nor your dad," and I talked to my mother about this several years later, said, "Why don't you just go talk to Max Lawson?
Mm-hmm.
I know he'll make this right." And she refused.
Hmm.
She would not do it.
Yeah.
So long story short, she comes in and wants to talk to me, and she says, "I'm getting my friend out here is getting ready to buy a new F-150. But before I would let her do it, I wanted to come in and get this off my chest." And tears were rolling down her cheeks
hmm.
as she was releasing that.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "You know, I said, I apologize. I said, I wasn't even there. You know, I was 17, or no, I was 20 years old at UT. And if my dad had found out about it, I know that he would have done something about it."
Mm-hmm.
But she had carried that to him for all of those years.
43 years.
Yeah. And that's why she had never done business in those 43 years with any dealership that either my dad or I had been involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And she just decided yesterday, I guess, that I'm going to fix this, mm-hmm. you know. So you know, we sat there, we talked about forgiveness. I talked about situations that I've been through that I had to let go of. And when it was all said and done, we hugged, mm-hmm. you know, coronavirus be damned. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, we hugged and, she and her friend bought an F-150 from us. And so, you know, it's just one of those things that was on my heart today, just coming up here. And it just, I was going to talk about that situation and then listen to Billy Graham. I said, okay, Lord, you're trying to tell me something here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's somebody out there that needs to forgive somebody and let it go and just release that burden that it is, because it is on the individual. And I've struggled with that over the years. I've had some business deals that went south. I had a bank deal where I was an investor in a small community bank and lost a significant amount of money because I trusted somebody. You know, you should never go into something that you don't really understand.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I had no business being on a bank board. I didn't know anything about it. I mean, I was a great banking customer, but I wasn't, you know, I didn't know about the inner workings of a bank.
Yeah.
And boy, I learned it the hard way. And so did several other of the investors in this bank. And but, you know, I struggled with that, you know, with the guy who put all that together and misled us.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, but I've dealt with that and let it go, you know. And life's too short to hold on to stuff like that. So, anyway, I just thought that needed to be said this morning.
True enough. And sometimes it's just better to forgive than to carry it around, especially
right.
for over 40 years. That's something else. Well, let's take our first break, and we'll come back with more. All right, back here, and it's My Car Guru for a Tuesday morning. A little rainy on the outside, but after today, it's going to be pretty good weather for a while.
Well, yesterday was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, over 80 degrees. I think we're seeing fall now. Yesterday was still summer. Today we're seeing fall for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, you want to do the job right 100% of the time. I mean, when you are in business and your success depends on either a sales team,
mm-hmm.
Maybe servers in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
It could be employees on an assembly line. You know, you don't want to have defects, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do not want to have breakdowns because it can cost you a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And it can cost you customers. You know, any type of retail business, if a customer has a bad experience, it's real easy for them to just say, okay, I'm done. I'm not going back.
Yeah.
Have you ever had such a bad experience that you just decided you're not going to go back?
I did, and it was, interestingly enough, at a car dealership, which I won't mention,
mm-hmm.
but I felt like I wasn't treated right at all, and I won't go into the story, but it just suffice to say that I ended up going to another city, in fact,
yeah,
and getting a vehicle, and I did something I probably shouldn't have done. I promptly drove that car that I got in another city up to the dealership and showed it to the guy that I felt like had done me wrong.
Oh, boy.
And he came out, and he said, oh, you got your one, did you? And I said, yeah. And, you know, I kind of said a few other things that maybe I shouldn't have said.
Are you regretting that now?
Have I put you on
guilt mode? You carrying that burden?
I'm not carrying the burden.
Him out and apologize to him.
I probably shouldn't have. I mean, I wasn't nasty or anything. I just got my point across.
Yeah. Does that ever feel good, though, really? I mean, I guess it does for the moment.
It felt good for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And then after that, I felt like, well, you know, that's probably childish of me to do that. Because I was probably, I'm trying to think how old I was. I was past 30, so I was in my low 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to wonder what it takes in a person for them to say, okay, I'm either going to just leave and I'm going to go take my business elsewhere, or I'm going to find somebody of authority, maybe the owner of the business, whatever, and I'm going to tell him about my experience and see what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always appreciated a complaint. I would much rather have a complaint.
Sure.
Than to have the customer never come back.
No, not come back.
And so, because when they complain, they're giving you the opportunity to correct the defect.
Make it right, yeah.
Yeah. And we have defects. I mean, we do. I was just thinking, it's just as far as generic numbers in our service department. The servicing automobiles is tough because every single one, we'll probably write 50 repair orders a day. That's 50 different customers coming in with 50 different problems. You know, some days it'll be 60, you know, if we have a really heavy maintenance schedule that day.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody has something different. We've got 10 technicians, And so those technicians have to shift gears mentally. You might be doing a brake job one minute and working on an engine or an air compressor the next minute. And, you know, the skills involved in doing all of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, how easily do you shift gears from going from, for example, for me, it's working on a financial statement and working on financial documents and so forth, and all of a sudden have to turn and be creative, have to write a radio spot or mm-hmm. something. I have to have a separation between those two. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to shift gears. Mm-hmm. I can't turn on a dime. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the challenges that you get into. You know, technicians need breaks. It's hot back there in that service department. You know, they got sweat dripping down in their eyes, and sometimes it's just not pleasant. You know, it's not a pleasant thing to get under the hood of a car or underneath a car. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just come off the road, and they want you to find out why is it doing this knocking noise? Why is this thing clicking? You know, why won't this work? And so lots of challenges. It's not like an assembly line where every widget is the same. You just got to do this, do that, mm-hmm. do that. You just follow it. It's like I say, it's challenging. And if you just look at generic numbers, I would say that we do a great job about 75% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a pretty good batting average, right?
750, yeah.
I mean, you'd take that, wouldn't you? You'd be a gazillionaire baseball player if that was the case. But that's not good enough. You know, and I think we do an acceptable but unremarkable job. Maybe 20% of the time, and then maybe 5% of the time, I think we miss the mark at one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not just talking about failing to repair something that's broken. I'm talking about maybe brushing somebody off too quickly, or not doing a good explanation of what you did do,
mm-hmm.
or not answering the phone fast enough. There's so many little things that can happen in a business that can run people off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was on a car dealer's lot the other day. There was a vehicle that I was interested in buying. It was a car lot in Greenville, one of my competitors. I drove up in a car, got out of the car, walked, and I spent 5 minutes looking at that vehicle. And there were two salespeople up on the patio looking at me. And I told Abby about it. And Abby said, "Dad, they probably knew who you were." I said, "Well, why would that keep them from coming waiting on me?"
Mm-hmm.
I was a prospect to buy that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so that will keep people from doing business with you. Some people want to be waited on quickly. Some people don't want to be waited on at all.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's hard to please everybody. I did one simple thing, though, to correct some of the defects, I think, in the service departments. All my service advisors' desks were separated from one another. They were lined up against the wall, but they were probably 10 feet apart, all facing. Like one is facing forward, the other one is back here behind him. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is in front of him about 10 feet. So they were separated. Mm-hmm. I took all of their desks and I lined them all up and put them side by side so that they're standing beside each other. And it's amazing what it has done already as far as communication and collaboration. Mm-hmm. It's just a little thing that you can do to improve, you know, what's going on. And I suggested this a couple of years ago. And thought that it might improve communication, especially handing off phone calls and incoming calls and understanding what another service advisor is doing at that moment, so that, you know, if you need to help him a little bit, give him a little bit of assistance, or you need to hand something off to somebody else, all of those little things, the way we were structured, the way we were designed, it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've changed just the design, just the office layout, if you call it,
mm-hmm.
and it's fixed. So I'm hoping that failure percentage goes way down, because usually it is all about communication.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the quality of repairs. We can fix anything. You know, occasionally something's a little bit harder and you might have to come back once.
Yeah.
Occasionally. But for the most part, almost all problems that you run into are either communication between employees or communications between the employee and the customer.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully my little change will make a big difference. So I'm paying attention, Tim.
Interesting. Just a switch of the desk.
That's right. Just there. Turn them sideways.
All right. We will take our last break, and we'll come back and wrap this puppy up. All right. We're back here on My Car Guru for the last minute or two here as we wrap things up.
Yeah, we've got a Ford Mustang GT. Well, Ford Mustang Shelby GT500 that's coming in. Now, this is a first year for that particular car. There was a GT500 several years ago, and then they got away from that, and then they came out with the GT350.
Right.
These are all basically named after Carroll Shelby, who was the developer of that engine and worked in collaboration with Ford. Anyway, we've got a GT500 that's coming, and it will be in and should be in this week or early next week. And we're working a customer from Louisville, Kentucky. And he was trying to buy one up there from the dealer up there, but that dealer up there was charging $20,000 over window sticker for the vehicle.
Ooh.
He's got a GT350, a 2018 model, and a GT500 from like 2012, something like that, that he's wanting to trade. And so that's going to be interesting figuring out what those are worth. But we don't charge that much. And he was very pleased with that. So our only obstacle with him is going to be giving him enough for his two trades in order to make it happen. So we shall see. I'll report to you on our success later this week.
You said 750 horsepower.
Yeah, that's barely enough, isn't it?
In that new...
750 horsepower.
That'll get it done.
Yes,
down
it will.
The road, won't it?
Yes, it certainly will.
All right. That'll do it for My Car Guru on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody has a great day out there, and we will join you again in about 23 and a half hours from now.